Welcome to Turning Point. I'm Scott Catoon, and keeping me honest today is my co-host, Anne-Marie. As always, we've got a great show for you. Joining us is one of the leading females in the Chicago VC community, Bailey Moore, VP of Wintrust Ventures. Welcome to the show, Bailey.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. Anne-Marie,
awesome.
Great to see you again.
I'm so excited that you decided to do this.
Hey, you send me a text and I reply, sure.
To the marketing team.
Yeah. Email my marketing team.
Well, we're just glad you're here.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We would have been talking to ourselves, I think.
We're going to get a whole other spectrum of what it's like to do corporate venture capitalism as opposed to VC, like gunslinger.
Am I glad you're here? Because I wouldn't even know where to start with this.
It's totally different. I'm super stoked.
So why don't we get in a little bit first? So for people who don't, I mean, I don't know how many people, at least in our audience membership, don't know who Wintrust Ventures is and Wintrust as a whole. But why don't you get into a little bit like Wintrust Ventures? What is Wintrust Ventures?
So let me back up. Wintrust itself is the second largest bank headquartered in Illinois. We're a $22 billion organization. Wintrust Ventures was publicly announced in January of 15. We manage two product groups. So one is equity investing. I take minority equity pieces of startups that are probably further along. And the second is venture debt. So companies that are institutionally backed that want to get a loan that probably don't qualify for it otherwise, I manage that product as well.
I know a few people who probably couldn't get a loan otherwise.
Yeah. That guy probably is not going to get a loan from me either.
The people that you grew up with because you are from...
It's everybody. Oh. Wow. Did you just drop some suburb on me? Is that what just happened? I just got suburbed. Oh, my... You know, I got to tell you, I feel like I'm in a little bit of trouble today because it's
you do have two pretty solid,
super powerful, solid, solid female entrepreneurs and just VCP. I'm in trouble.
Is that why
man.
You're decked in the nines today? You're
just I put on my power suit so I can keep myself and you know I have to have a little bit of power. Pinstripe goes a long way. You know what I mean? I don't know.
It has to Todd Connor about that. He's a big fan of pinstripe.
He is, and he has some.
He
knows how to dress
pretty well.
His ties.
I wouldn't even say pretty. I would say very
extremely
well.
Yeah. He matches ties with socks. Did you know that?
Yeah. He even knows that maroon's in style right now because he was wearing a coat the same color of my lipstick.
Well, his house looks like a navy vessel inside.
His house is the most beautiful home I've ever seen in my life.
It is. It's like a navy vessel.
I would
like
be his au pair just to live in that house.
I feel like I went into the Queen Mary when I walked in there. I was like, oh my goodness.
That was a fun party.
He lives a GQ kind of life.
Yeah. That's the understatement of the century, possibly. Yeah.
Let's talk about this one sidetrack. How much fun was that party?
Which one?
No, the one that we all were at.
Yeah, it was a good time.
We
were tossing around
it was a
the
solid
hat.
Time. It was a great time.
I mean, that was great.
Can't really say anymore. It was a great time. I don't know. People have to get invited to the next one. They'll find out.
Yeah. It's a secret.
Yeah.
Right. No, it's a text.
His address is.
Yes. Yeah. Todd's going to love this.
Here's the passcode to his front door.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Based on my experience the last week or so, I felt like I was in need. You know the backstory on this. We're not going to get into it. But I felt the need for a little bit of a power, aggressive tie.
Sure.
So.
And I dressed down for you today. So this is great.
This is, I feel like I'm going
to
pay for this.
You need a text.
The only text I get from you is like the Uber text saying I'm on my way to the studio.
I want you to know I'm on my way.
All right. Well, let's get into the real deal here.
Sure.
Talk a little bit about, I mean, both of you have great experience in the VC community and have been in it for a while and have multiple perspectives. We've had, women in tech people and women founders on the show many times. Almost every episode we have at least one. And I hate starting the conversation with what's it like to be a woman in whatever.
Thank you.
It's a dumb conversation. Yeah. Let's talk about
like to be a woman versus a male. Well, I don't know.
Well, that's a different conversation. I don't know. But what I want to know first is it's not like you're just women in this industry. Super successful, no matter what gender you would be. So, what has it been like for you? And what is your daily job like? And then, of course, we do want to know, as a woman, it has probably been a more difficult challenge to get that route or get the opportunity. What's it like? Either of you can slam on this.
This is Bailey's show.
Right I mean, now. I'll start because I work in a male-dominated industry. Forget VC, finance in general. And to me, it's not that bad. Pretty much because I am kind of a man stuck in a woman's body and I don't take things too seriously and I leave my emotions at home. But I have, you are put in situations, and this has happened my entire career, where you think, I'm going to land this great account, and it turns out that guy just wants to date you.
Yeah.
I would say that that's probably the most annoying part of being a woman in finance.
That is the most annoying thing.
It's happened multiple times.
I totally forgot about that.
And it's kind of a bummer, but it is what it is. You know, it's, you got
to just backload the deal and just totally stick it to the guy, like make a deal down the road and give him the worst contract of all time.
They pretend like they're helping you, and then they pretend like they're helping you, and then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, it's like, do you want to go here? And then you go there, and they're like, oh, your hair's so pretty. Like, get off of me immediately.
It's a fine line, because you want to be included, but it's there are times where things get inappropriate, and you got to just say, okay, that's not right, and move on, and let it go, because you can't let it hang on your back. Otherwise, you're going to have that, I'm a woman thing going, and that's just not the way to play it.
Some of the more, I mean, some, you were here for it. Some of the more successful female entrepreneurs we've had on the show, Christy Ross, Desiree Vargas Wrigley was on the show. We had, I'm trying to get Katie Lynch to come on. She's on the new Limited Ads and stuff. Total powerhouse. Like, they come in and it's just like, yeah, I don't, like, I think Christy was the one who told me that she was like, you know, I'm sure that I've been sort of like in situations where the guys that we're working with are working, you know, trying to work with.
Just ignore them, though. Like,
well, that's the thing.
Point.
She said,
like,
I didn't even notice it. Somebody pointed out to me later because I was just so focused on making this deal go for me or for my company or however.
Didn't even care. Let me
yeah, take it.
So
I've
from being at the Board of Trade, like, guys would hit on you constantly. And it's unfortunate that they didn't realize it wasn't going to be their best trade because they were hitting a dead end road on that. But, like, You just kind of, you become numb to it and you don't care. Like, it just doesn't matter. Like, you're just like, okay, cool. Like, that's what you want to do. Doesn't matter. I still need to do business. So either I'm going to go to you or I'm going to go to your supervisor and I'm going to execute whatever I need to execute. And
yeah, I mean, I'm with Christy. I don't know it until, like, the line is already crossed. Right. And I'm like, oh, you know, damn. But let's just get this deal done.
Yeah, let's get the deal done. That's it. And so, you know, it is what it is. And I think, too, though, also people are – a lot of times in the financial industry, like, I don't think that people – and I don't mean to insult anybody that I genuinely care about that are different than that, but I think it's somewhat of a selfish industry. And so it's kind of like, oh, I think all the industries are selfish, but, like, people think that you can
Your compensation is aligned with getting
how successful you are and the people that it starts motivating you in a way that's not necessarily
right way,
like humanistic. I
would
think.
Agree.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, this is, we do want to talk about some actual Wintrust stuff and some business side of this. What are you, I mean, both of you, obviously, what are you seeing in the Chicago startup community? What are the opportunities you're seeing, and how would you say it's gone for Wintrust Ventures? Are you guys getting on some companies and opportunities, investments that are stupendous, or is it still a struggle?
Yeah, I mean, it's gone better than I thought, honestly. We're 12 months in, and we're closing on our 15th portfolio company right now. I don't have a fund structure, which is nice, because if I see a company that's raising their seed and I like it, I can do it. The deal we're doing today is a Series E, and this is their last round of capital, and they're valued over $100 million. Yeah. So I'm really happy with the quality of our portfolio companies, that they've all hit milestones when they needed to, with the exception of, you know, the one or two that are going to take longer. And my, you know, our whole investment thesis isn't to do 100 and have one succeed and write off 99. We're a bank.
Yep.
My investment.
This isn't 2004.
Right. We're not Sequoia. We're not. I can't get comfortable with saying, oh, that didn't work. My whole investment thesis is to make 3, 5, 8 times on 80% of my deals and write off 20. So everyone's doing really well. They're adding staff. I think the biggest difference between venture capital and private equity, which I didn't know until I was in venture capital, is when you talk about job creation, VC is where that happens. By the time you're in PE, you're looking to cut costs. You're looking basically to skinny up the company and improve the EBITDA, whereas VC, it's all about growth. So I think the community is doing well. I do think that given the markets, people are starting to have stomach aches and valuations are going down on the early stage stuff, where you still are kind of in concept mode, and you're seeing valuations and stomach aches in that pre-IPO later stage stuff, because you know, as we've seen with the Snapchats of the world, the valuations were just way too high, and now the market's correcting.
You know, it's kind of funny. I was on the phone the other day with a guy from Silicon Valley, and he was actually, I was on with Lane Campbell, our buddy, good buddy Lane. And the guy from Silicon Valley compared the Chicago investment market for startup companies to South America, to a country in South America.
He's goodness.
Oh, yeah. No, it was, and he's laughing. He's like, you know, I'll say South America instead of just calling it a third world country. That's like their viewpoint of us.
Silicon Valley has FOMO. It's the bottom line.
So, like,
They overinvest.
Totally.
And then basically overinvest in the same sort of market, 10 different companies, and then smidgen all of them out so they get like one big winner. They don't.
No, my response to that was laughter, because I actually thought, like, you know what, who's going to be laughing in a few years? The reality is I have the exact same thought process on this as you do, Bailey, in that going after a volume trade, just picking companies just because, and it's like, I don't really care about the structure, the fundamentals, the entrepreneurs, really even the technology. That's their viewpoint, is if I can sell this to somebody, if I can go, like, look at the huge market valuation, obviously they're going to have a huge piece of this. Wow. And then they get, you know, he went to Stanford and it's got a huge market, like there's a huge market opportunity. $8 million, here you go, and we don't care. Our model here in Chicago is that we're going to pick things that can prove. Can you talk to me about your profit model first? Can you show me how you're going to at least make some return? Yeah. I don't need a 10, 20X. I need a 4, 5, 6, 8X. And I think it's a really smart way to go.
Yeah, I mean, there's more volatility on the coast. There just is, and because there are fewer VCs here, it requires companies to be more cash flow efficient, which means that they have to figure out how to turn a profit at some point because they can't rely on venture into perpetuity.
Sure. Yeah.
And one of the goals that I have at Wintrust is to create long-term, not just wealth, but also it's a pipeline for all of our other products. Sure. So our commercial bank and, you know, our wealth group and our 401k program. So if that company is just going to be bought within 2 years by some other company that will be bought in 2 years, that doesn't provide long-term value for Wintrust as an organization. So it doesn't make sense for me to do that deal.
It doesn't get any better than that as far
Let's
as
talk a little bit about, I want everyone to, because Bailey is like a rock star and we all know this. I want people to understand a little bit more of where she came from and some of the stuff that you've done in your life.
And
what it's like to be, you know, sans the whole dude stuff, like what it's like to run a $22 billion venture.
Well, yeah. I don't run $22 billion.
Like, I mean, yeah. I would like, because people, because you are such at a high point in your career and the sky's not the limit for you by any means. I would like for people that don't have the opportunity to sit down with you, maybe give some sort of insight of how, you know, what your journey's been and some of the turning points that have been in your career.
Yeah. So, I came out of, speaking of bubbles, I came out of school in 08, which was not a good time to get a job in finance. I got a job as a liquidation and bankruptcy consultant.
Don't feel bad. I graduated in 06 and went right into commercial real estate.
Yeah, right. Great idea at the time.
A plus.
I'm not saying when I graduated.
We all know you graduated in 2012. It's fine.
From high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even better.
Junior high.
Nice. No, sorry to interrupt.
No, you're fine. Great first job because you learn what not to do.
Sure.
You learn what doesn't work, and did it for a couple years, and a couple years was all I needed. You're the grim reaper, and you see people lose their jobs, and it's just not a fun way to live. I joined Wintrust in 2010 as part of their original commercial banking team downtown. It was 11 males and myself. I was their analyst. I helped them basically put together the underwriting that we use now. Did that for a nice run, about 4 years. Really enjoyed it. However, some rules changed. Dodd-Frank came out with a rule called the Volcker Rule, which required us to get out of any LP exposure that we had in the markets, which meant that Wintrust itself had a $30 million bucket with no real uses. Our CEO decided that he wanted to figure out how to direct invest that money, and I was tasked with the project to do that. Originally, it was a white paper, and then it was a policy, and then it was, hey, if we're going to invest in these companies, we better figure out how to lend to them. So then it was a lending policy. And, you know, life is very much about hard work, and there's a little bit of luck there and network, and I was lucky enough to have my executive team say, hey, here's the brand, go figure it out for us. You know, don't push money out, put smart money out.
How did you feel about that?
Oh, I was scared. I mean, my first few public interviews about this, I was thinking, Jesus, I am going to fail, and I'm going to be that one story that everyone hears where they're like, they shouldn't have made
poster
that.
Poster child.
Shouldn't have made the bet on the 28-year-old. But I was thoughtful about it, and I made sure that all the controls were in place. We didn't go out and lead deals at, sure, you know, $40 million pre-evaluations. I started to create relationships with people that were smarter than me. And I'm
always a good policy.
Big believer in you get smarter by being around smarter people.
So I'm sitting here with you two.
Yeah.
It's not working, Scott.
No. I'm trying. Says the guy holding the microphone in his hand.
Yeah, right. Going like this.
At least you're in the shot this time.
Hey, can't all be winners.
And that's where we're at. I mean, even our founders, I was with Monica Royer, who's a founder of one of our portfolio companies, Monica and Andy, and just these people are so impressive, and the thoughts they have about their businesses and how they can grow them are, you know, light years ahead of what I'm even thinking about on my business. And I get to work for a big corporation with a nice pile of cash. So it's been a nice run, and I hope it continues.
It will. It's unbelievable. Like, the name that you have for yourself in this industry is crazy. And you know what's awesome about Bailey, though, which I don't think a lot of people do, and we talk about this that I do, and I think that that's why we became such good friends so quickly, is it's all about helping each other.
Sure.
And, like, Bailey goes above and beyond for people to introduce to help elevate them to the next level. You pay it forward 100%.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's relationship. You know, if I look at a deal and I feel like it's transactional, I'll walk away from it. Yeah. I'm lucky enough to not have goals. It's more about do the
Me
right
neither.
Deals. Yeah.
Goals, it's fine.
Goals in life.
That way I never lose. Yeah. I'm always winning.
Yeah.
Duh, winning.
Yeah, you're never failing.
I've never failed.
Yeah.
Never wrote it down.
So yeah, it's if I feel like my deal's going to be shopped in 2 years, I just won't even do the deal. I'd rather be friends with my founders and feel like I know their kids and I know their wives and their husbands. Because I think that if you think about what I was talking about earlier in creating future value, that's the only way you do it is when Monica and Andy sells to some big brand, I can say, hey, Monica, I wrote you an equity check back when this was just a storefront on Halstead Street. Yeah. So I want to see you at the table on everything finance. And frankly, I like the people.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't enjoy
Who
and
wants to
live
work with people
what
they
you
don't
do,
like and don't believe in, it's like that's what makes what you do for a living work.
Right. I mean, not everyone's lucky enough to be in that situation, and I am, and you are, and you are. So
sometimes.
Yeah. I have another question because you told me I can take the reins. If you had to give just anyone that wants to be VC, anybody that wants to get involved in business, top three things that you would say for advice?
Hard work is mandatory. Network is important.
Bring a calculator.
Bring your iPhone
bring your
calculator.
What are they now?
TI-80.
Mine was like a TI-82.
Oh, see, now you're aging yourself. You definitely were in high school in 12.
TI-81.
Yeah, I had a TI-81 too. So we moved up to TI-83 as a senior. Okay. I don't know how to use it. I still don't know how to use it.
I just cheated off of that.
Yeah, well,
that's how it goes.
Copying the answers also helps.
The element that then you're. Yeah.
I don't know what the third would be. The third would be, you know, don't have an overinflated ego.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people in our space that are drinking their own Kool-Aid, and they are very successful, and I have a lot of respect for them. But
at times,
I like Kool-Aid. As the market gets bigger and there's more players, burning bridges will matter.
Yeah.
So
yep.
We've had that conversation. Well, you know, like I say to people all the time, you know, don't think it's just you and the sun.
Yeah. Oh, you're quoting me from the A-pit?
Somebody might have said that I believe it's just me and the sun out
it
there.
It was a joke.
I know.
I'm
just kidding. I'm trying to make you feel bad. It's all good. Where do people go? I'm just kidding. I don't want to get in trouble. Where do people go to find out more about Wintrust Ventures and where can startups go to make a relationship?
We have a website. I believe it's wintrust.com/ventures. Don't quote me on that.
Or just Google search Wintrust Ventures.
Yeah, that's probably the best bet.
Do you want people to contact you directly?
Probably not.
She's like shaking.
I know,
her
I'm
head.
Shaking my head no before I even asked it. I just wanted to get out there. This has been awesome. It's so nice to have both of you in here and talk about this. And I learn a lot when, especially when we have two people kind of from the same world, because it's not my world. So I get to learn so much about it. So it's been really exciting.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
For coming on.
A lot of people are going to get a lot of information from today.
I sure hope so. You can watch this episode and more on Advisor TV, stream us on the WGN Plus app, or download each episode on iTunes. And remember to stay connected by following us on Twitter at WGN Turning Point. Drop that mic.
Hi, I'm Don Bora. This is another extended bite from 8-Bit Studios. With me, as always, is the redoubtable Brett Mackey.
Redoubtable? Oh. I don't even know if...
Is
that a compliment?
Wow. You can look that up later.
Yeah.
And joining us again, anyway. Anne-Marie. What's your last
Yay!
Name? Really?
Yep, Madonna.
What?
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a last name?
I do have a last name.
Oh, I thought you just said it was Madonna.
I mean, no, I...
No, she's pulling a Madonna is what she's saying.
Oh.
And Cher.
I'm not like pulling anything. I prefer being in VC. I don't really like people knowing my last name.
Whoa. I love the mystery.
Yeah, that's some...
I'll tell you about Cher, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
As long as
I just can't.
We got to sign like
an
NDA or anything.
No.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, we're moving along. That's enough talking about Anne-Marie's name. So we are going to talk about failing fast, what that means and, you know, like why it's relevant.
I had an idea, maybe. Maybe we should, Anne-Marie, you might know a little bit more about this, but let's talk about how Scott fails fast at bars.
I was waiting for you to say that. I was like, how does Scott fail fast?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we did see the pictures from Dick's Last Resort, so...
Well, so you're in VC, yeah. So what's the concept of failing fast?
I mean, so you have to have a beta, more or less, right? And so when your beta doesn't really kind of perform as quickly as you'd like it to, you fail fast so that you could pivot and supersede. Otherwise, sometimes you fail fast and you don't have any other ideas, and then you go get your 9-to-job.
Yeah,
nine to
five. And the whole idea of failing fast is to spend less money on... The
yeah,
idea
you want
that's
the burn
not going
to
work
to be lower.
Exactly.
And, yeah. I would say though, you know, it's not. It shouldn't be like your go to. Like, yeah, I'm going to start a startup and I want to fail fast.
That was my notion coming into this. Yeah. We're going to fail fast.
We were like turning point. Let's fail fast. But I mean, to answer that, yeah, of course, it's not your objective. But I mean, if you're going to do it quickly, so your burn rate, you know, is minimum and. You could pivot quickly and figure out your issues and,
I think
have a better team or whatever it is.
I think it's a better way to maybe even frame the conversation because sometimes we do talk about in meetings, we talk to startups about failing fast.
Mm-hmm.
And that does put a negative spin on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the gist of it is that we're always trying to communicate there's tools to prove out your concept.
Yep.
And so I think that's a better positive way to look at it. And like in tech, those are clickable prototypes. Last week we had Pop-Up Republic, and they have the ability to pop up a storefront quickly and figure out if your concept works. So there's all these tools that I think are, let's just spin them a little bit more positively. But at the end of the day, if you can get that failure to get out of the way pretty quickly and move on, that's the key.
Right? I mean, that's like, you know, everybody talks about agile development, right? I mean, that's the tenet of agile development. Like, do short bursts of productivity, short bursts of deliverable product.
Yep.
To see if it works. And if it doesn't work, you can pivot and go somewhere else with that idea.
There's a company, do you guys remember Fran from last week that was sitting in there?
Uh-huh.
So he has a company called CitySell. We were talking about it.
Yeah.
So we've already told him, like, go into, you know, DIY workshops over here, you know, in Chicago and see if they work and if, you know, see how much you can charge and see, you know, go and do your product development, go and see, like, what the market's out there and so on and so forth, and then come back and figure out what is scalable and what isn't.
Yeah.
And that would be kind of avoiding the failing fast because now you're doing your research. So ironically enough for him, awesome, after that conversation we had during lunch, his wife actually just put her 2 weeks in.
Whoa.
Ding.
That's huge.
Wow.
That's huge.
The whole class was like going crazy last night. He's like, thanks, Dan Marie. I'm like, no. I don't want credit for this.
This is
like,
all on you. Failing fast with power tools scares me a little bit.
Oh, geez. I mean, those should not be in the same sentence at all. But no, I mean, you know, like that. But that's the point, though. Now she can go and do that and figure out like what's, you know.
So she's going to join him in the...
They are partners.
Okay.
They're business partners
okay,
as
cool.
well as husband and wife. So, she's stoked. It's really cool. But like now she has the opportunity to do the market research, to do the beta testing, to figure out all that stuff so that should they fail fast, she can go and put 100% back into the company. And so, you know,
market research doesn't necessarily mitigate the failure.
No.
It can inform your success too.
Sure.
But the whole idea, I feel that the whole idea behind failing fast is kind of embracing the culture of failure. Right. The only way you learn is through failure. You don't learn from success because you can't. You don't learn from success necessarily because your success could have been due to anything. But your failure, you learn how to change something or do something slightly different. Or
would you say that's kind of like if someone says, "Don't do this because the stove's hot," and you're not going to realize the stove's hot until you touch it?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Or you're learning a foreign language. Right. Or,
I agree with that.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I mean, that's how the brain works. That's how we learn how to walk and talk and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Boca coins?
Boca coins? Oh, Borbucks?
Borbucks. It should be like Yoda bucks.
Ooh.
Look at this guy over here.
And I'm very close to doing my Yoda right now.
Wow. I don't know if that was a little bit of a dig, but.
No, it was good.
I mean, Don's a little
don't
guy.
Really. No, I like it.
The whole Yoda
no, I didn't
busy.
Mean
what the
like
hell,
an
man?
You're my height. You're my height.
Oh, my God. That's a trip.
I see where you're
going. Wow.
No, yeah. I meant like, you know, he looks at it, you know, from the other side. I appreciate that. I think that's cool.
Wow. Okay. So short Yoda. Got it. All right.
Well, that's cool. Well,
I don't work for him, so I'm good, man.
I don't know if I do either.
I think we talked about this last time. Like, you know, if Brett and I have a problem, we Greco-Roman it out. It's
that's good.
There's no height advantage there, believe me.
So, what would you have to say to anybody as far as like, you know, advice from your guys' expertise about someone failing fast?
Well, I think we kind of have two perspectives. One of them is kind of dependent on how much investment a company comes in with, right? And so a lot of companies that we meet with, you know, they tend to be bootstrapping, and there's so much you can do on your own to paper prototype and start to prove your concept out and get that valuable feedback to decide if this is the right direction or you need to pivot. And so as much as we communicate, you know. Oh, go ahead.
We're good.
What do you think about pivoting?
Oh,
that's a good question.
What do you mean?
Well, there's some VCs that don't, not VCs, I'm putting my quotes
sure,
up right now,
yeah, yeah.
That don't believe in pivoting. I 1,000% believe in pivoting because that has to do with, you know.
Well, it depends on how big the pivot
is. Oh, sure. I mean, if you're a brand new company and you already have like a 300 grand.
Yeah, yeah. If you decide, like, if you're a loyalty rewards company and now all of a sudden you're an immersive gaming company, That's hellfire, right?
You know, but pivot, you know, like
yeah.
your typical pivot.
Yeah,
like your typical
just,
pivot.
Like, you're just cutting the fat a little bit.
You
kind of
have to do that.
Yeah. I think you have to do it every time.
Look at any major business right now, and they pivoted. IBM is a fantastic example of a pivoting company, right? They're a huge behemoth organization that started out with census taking and large government contracts. Java came out, uplifted the world on them, and they turned at their size on a dime and then turned into a Java consulting and services shop. Within like a year. So that's a pivot.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I think whenever we meet with a new business too, whenever you can actually start to see the pivots really early on, I think there's something there that kind of indicates like there's potential for success, right? You're just not locked into that idea all of a sudden. And so that Don was giving, I don't know. Sorry, I just started to pay attention to my cookie. I had my hand for a minute. And anyway, so.
He really has had a cookie in his hand the whole entire.
I forget it's radio. But anyway, so yeah, I think that idea starts to communicate at different avenues for success, and people feel a little bit more comfortable about just the whole idea of starting something new.
If you trust your gut and the things that you're working on don't necessarily follow through, then I think, you know, you need to pivot, and that's the bottom line.
Right. Yep. Speaking of my gut, I'm going to finish this cookie.
Go for it. Yeah, that's it. And we're wrapped up. That's it. That's our 6 minutes. This time we're going to be as close to this as possible. And I'm not going to say boom because that's Scott's thing.
We gotta,
I don't know.
Well,
thanks.
You're eight biting.
Mm-hmm. I am eight biting.
He actually has the cookie
it's
in his mouth right now.
Don't get me into this whole tech thing right now because you'll lose. So, all right. Well, thanks a lot.
Bye, you guys.
We'll be back later.
Thanks. Good job.